CFM.
Get up with Bree and Jaunty.
Philip Lee's on the show this morning to give us all the latest with the ghost of Jenny Dixon.
Philip Lee, Psychic Media.
It's a story that takes over the coast. Everyone knows the story of Jenny Dixon. Everyone talks about it. We've talked about it on our show for a long time. We went on this ghost hunt with Philip Lee, Psychic Medium.
Which was creepy as, can I say?
It was very creepy.
And we're standing in the middle of a cemetery in Nora Head. I thought, what are we doing here?
Near Wilford Barrow Drive,
this
where everyone says they see the ghost of Jenny Dixon.
We had to go because we had to get up early to do the show the next day. Philip Lee stuck around and did some more stuff around midnight and 3 a.m. because that's when they see, that's when a lot of reports come through on Jenny Dixon. So she's going to give us that this morning. We posted a picture to our Facebook page and the comments have been going off.
It's blowing up.
Everyone knows about this thing. And that, do you see a ghost in that picture, Bree, that we've posted on Facebook? Have a look right now if you haven't seen it.
There's definitely something. I don't know what it is. It looks like an orb, which they say can be, you know, a spirit.
And how's the time on it too? 3 a.m.
Exactly, yeah, 3 a.m. How creepy is that? But before we went out to Wilford Barrett Drive, we did a bit of a tour of the Nora Head Lighthouse and the servant quarters there. Mm-hmm. And this is some audio from inside the Nora Head Lighthouse.
Yeah, and we were asking questions. Now, what was the little thing that they were using?
Yeah, so they were using this device that picks up EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena, and it kind of picks up a recording and kind of, pushes that out into the atmosphere.
We haven't messed with this audio. We're just playing it as it is, but when we ask certain questions, we get certain kind of vibes from that, right?
Yeah.
Sounds so that you'll hear.
Certain sounds. And it was only, we need to stress, only when Philip Lee, psychic medium, asked certain questions in this one room in the lighthouse.
We're all standing there. Take a listen.
Well, we're just doing a bit of sound talking to a ghost. And what we do is I just say the question and then wait. So we're going to ask, is there anyone here? Does anyone want to talk to us? Come and talk to us.
Oh my God.
Ooh.
Nah.
What's going on?
You're the expert.
What was that? It's never done that before. No. All right, we'll try again. How did you die? When did you die?
Why does it not like that question?
Can we help you?
It's a different voice.
It's like a submarine voice.
Not a fan of this.
So what's the weirdest thing you've heard on that? Have you heard someone speaking on that
one? No.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of different noises.
Yeah. And that sort of muffle underneath to make maybe words when we slow it down.
So it could be words when slowed down.
Isn't it weird? Yeah. Like, because you and I were there, Philip Lee would ask some questions and there'd be no sound at all.
Yeah, definitely got different responses to different questions, that's for sure.
And different noises, as you can hear in that audio.
Okay, so Philippa Lee's going to join us on the show to reveal all, because she's been through all this audio, she's slowed it down, she's been back through the video stuff, back through the pics and everything, and she's going to join us on the show next just to give us the lowdown, what happened after midnight, put an end to this thing,
Did she see the ghost of Jenny Dixon?
Before we get to that, very quickly, just as I was dropping you home after the ghost hunt, I didn't get a chance to play this yesterday, but I'm not going anywhere without playing it. I was dropping Bree home and I said, Bree, you cool if I just drop you here at the roundabout? You walk up the hill to your house in the dark.
It's like a kilometre, producer Rach. She was going to make me walk after we'd just done this ghost hunt.
And of course I recorded that too, exactly.
Of course you
did. If I just drop you here to turn around, it's one way. You can just walk up the hill.
I'm not f***ing up the hill.
I will myself.
Can you please just drop me at my door?
But I've got to turn, it's one way street. I've got to turn around all the way around the block. You can't walk up the hill.
I'm not joking. Don't. Can you please drop me at my front door?
Just walk up.
Don't be a dick. Drive me to my house.
Why do you have to live on some weird one-way street?
Don't be an ass.
I'll just...
No, don't. Drive me to my
house. Just walk up there. It's just there.
What if I see something?
What are you going to see?
A ghost. You laugh, but you wait. Can you please just stop in my house?
Cool, calm, collected. Bree, Yana, Tomasello.
Always.
Psychic Philip Polina, join us next here at C.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
Philippa Lee, Psychic Media.
This is it, Bree.
The ghost hunt of Jenny Dixon, the urban legend that surrounds the coast.
If you read the comments on our Facebook page of the picture that we posted at 3 a.m. the other night when we went out looking for Jenny Dixon with psychic medium Philippa Lee, do you believe in the ghost? There's a definite mark in that photo.
There is, for sure. What it is, who knows?
Philippa Lee joins us right now. Morning, Philippa.
Morning.
Good morning. Talking to you from the country. How are you all? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, no worries. So we left you that night because we had to get up early and you were staying around from right the way through until sunrise. So still not sure what you found there, but from what I've seen on your comments and whatnot, you're saying you've really come across something here.
Oh, yeah. We've got all sorts of things from this night. I've only given you one snap and I've given you a little bit more footage, which is on our YouTube as well, The Spiritual Tourist. Which has a little bit of screenshot, sort of frame by frame. What we've done with this is we've come in as genuine people. Look, we have a GoPro, we have some bits and pieces, we have some really good sound gear, and a professional audio engineer at least, but we're coming in as genuine people to really look what's there and find the truth of these things. What we experience has changed us. My husband, who definitely comes to my stage shows as a psychic medium and things, who's never seen really anything for himself, he's changed. He was white as a sheet. Look, we've just got... When you look at all those bits around us, I mean, what we got there to me was just, it's changed me. I mean, just to see it and to see that moving footage as well. And then there's things beyond that. We saw an orb down the road. Within about a minute, we had three experiences that were on camera. And we have another camera filming at this point, which I haven't given you. I mean, we've had a day and I've been up for a couple of days. But,
you probably are saying things
really
by
busy.
So this is on Wilford Barrett Drive, right, Philippa? Exactly whereabouts on Wilford Barrett Drive did you see this stuff?
Now, this is further down than I researched and where we went, actually. So this was down near the Lions Park at the entrance north. And just past that, we actually saw a cat, which freaked us out. And we had a funny moment thinking, well, that's as good as we're getting. And then that all happened. So...
not everyone's seen the footage yet, Philippa, so you need to describe to us what you've seen because I don't know what you're trying to describe.
What exactly did you
see that night?
So what we saw was to the right of the road, we saw this figure coming up. It's a glowy white figure. It's the same on the GoPro. So that is a night vision. So we've got the two, which is fabulous. We'll match them up and we've got sound on the GoPro. But anyway, so she's... This figure that looks like a woman, she looks about 17, 18 with dark brunette hair, and she's literally walking across the road. You can see her glowy arms and legs going, you know, back and forward, walking across this road. And then, I mean, it's 5 seconds of footage. Like I said, we've given a screen by screen to slow it down a bit. And then there's a group of them. And one appears behind her that is shorter, a young preteen girl. So I'm convinced this is Grace and Kathleen Holmes from 1950. And I actually was a bit emotional at that point. And especially when we saw the footage and we actually captured her, what we'd seen with two cameras. Wow. Changed.
Which, for people who don't know the story, it's a documented...
from 1950, two young girls.
From 1950, a horrible story, which Philippa has kind of tapped into that and she believes that the ghost of Jenny Dixon is actually these two young girls who unfortunately perished back in 1952.
Which we went into the cemetery at night, we're standing there at night and we're feeling some stuff, definite chills and tightness in the chest.
Every hair on my body is standing up right now.
We're standing at the gravesite too.
Oh, it was full on. It was very full on. And I mean, you know when you can just feel a presence. And I feel like, did you feel that, Philippa? Like when you were driving on Wilford Barrett Drive at 3 a.m, did you just feel a presence?
Yeah, actually, we've got the footage again of us going down to the bridge. And we thought it was further up, like I said, where we took you guys. But I felt it further down. I said, let's keep going. I feel something here. And there's nothing on the cameras that we could find on there. But yeah, that bit coming back was the same spot.
So just to wrap this up for us, Philippa, you are saying to the non-believers to believe.
Look, I'm saying you decide. Look, we're going to do a complete reveal on this whole night, including the lighthouse as well. I mean, there's so many different things we've got on this. We've got electronic voice print, EVP, which is talking to the ghost, leaving a space of air and then having things talk back. You've talked about that happening at the lighthouse when you were in the bottom room with us. Right. And the equipment went a bit strange. But, yeah, look, definitely you decide. We'll present the evidence in a couple of weeks. And
all right, we're going to get that. Then. We're going to get that footage from you. We're going to get it up on our Facebook page as well for people to see. You can check that out.
We'll keep you updated here at CFM.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
It's the age-old mystery, Bree. When socks go into the wash and they don't come out together.
I grew up with never a matching pair of socks. My mum is the worst.
What happens?
I don't know.
What honestly happens? All I do, right, is I take off my socks after I'm done, I chuck them in the wash, mm-hmm. and that's it.
And then you let your fiancé, Jamie, no. deal with the washing. No, yes, we know. No, we've heard before on this show how you treat your fiancé. It's not nice.
I do washing as well. Don't be like that. Sure. Come on. I'm just better at it.
Yeah, you wash yourself in the shower. Come on.
I'm going down a scary road here, but
what have you done to your poor fiancé?
Time and time again, Jamie will lose it about these socks. She will lose it. If she's putting away the washing, she'll go, oh, your socks? What is going on with your socks? I said, I don't know. I put them in and they don't come out. Must be your fault. So she's been saying this for weeks, getting real riled up, and I could feel it on this one. And I went to get some socks and I thought, I'm just going to secretly record Jamie and I'm going to blame her for losing the socks.
Of course you are.
The reaction I got just goes to show how much this has gotten to her. So this is where I slyly break it to her that, you know, what's been going on with these socks? Take a listen.
Why do you keep losing my socks in the wash?
Mate, I can't even. Just. Oh, mate.
How do you keep losing my socks?
No, seriously, I've never met anybody whose socks go into the wash and then never come out. And I've got this pile, and I don't know what to do with it, with all your socks.
Well, I put them both in, but they don't both come out.
Then you can do it yourself.
Do you deliberately lose them?
I can't deal with it! Your stupid socks! Seriously, I'm not even joking with your socks.
She walked away and set the dogs off.
I was going to say, she yelled and the dogs in the background were going off.
Do you think I left it there?
Of course you didn't.
Of course not.
Gaunsey stirs the pot again.
So I'm staring at Jamie. She storms off, okay, and she storms into the room to hide under the blankets. And what you're going to hear is her storming off here and me trying to get her to come out from under the blankets, but she's not having a bar of it.
Babe.
This thing with your socks is the bane of my existence.
Are you traumatised?
Yes. I need a counsellor.
Over socks?
Yes, it's actually causing a psychological issue.
Over socks?
It's not just over socks, it's just that it's every week.
Get out from under the blanket.
No.
This is where I show her that I've been recording.
Can you not lose my socks next time?
Oh! Oh my god! I can't even deal with this!
I wasn't prepared. Go away. Just go away. This issue with your socks.
Couldn't let it go, though, at the end. Couldn't let it go.
Just no, but really, though.
With the socks.
There's only one resolution.
What's that?
Do your own washing.
Do Bree.
Your own washing. This isn't the first time we've heard you complain about your fiancé slaving away in the laundry to do your dirty washing. You stink. You need to do.
Don't even get me started on matching up the colour of my socks. I mean, she gets that wrong as well. I mean, can't the blue go with the blue?
I'm off it.
Get up with Bree and Gaunsey.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
I've come across my voice twin.
Yeah, interesting. How do we get on to Katie again?
One of the girls in the office here said she met this girl, Katie, who everyone was telling her that she always sounds like me, and they thought she was me at one point. They kept asking her, are you Bree from Bree and Gordy?
We had her on the show yesterday, and we got her to record some stuff back-to-back with yours just so we can try and tell the difference between the two of you. Take a listen.
And then this lazy cat jumped over the cow. It was really weird.
And then this lazy cat jumped over the cow. It was really weird.
It's just that country Stanthorpe kind of vibe, isn't it? You know,
just oozing out of
just
me.
Just the cat over the weird, the
All
cow.
Right.
Out on the farm.
All right.
Stanthorpe with me whip.
That is not what I sound like.
It's exactly what you sound like.
You sound like some next level country.
Geez, you really got me there, didn't you? What about morning?
Morning.
Morning. That's pretty
close.
That's close. Yeah.
How close can it be, though, if we call you dad? That's the question.
Big Steve.
Will he fall for it?
But yeah, I don't talk to my dad all that much on the phone.
But you're his daughter. You've been his daughter for 28 years. You'd think he'd know your voice.
Should bloody know who I am.
You'd think he'd be able to pick you straight away.
Yeah.
We put in the call and we wanted to see if we could stump the big man himself, Big Steve. This is Katie calling on your behalf. Take a listen.
Good morning, Stephen speaking.
Dad, I'm coming up to Brisbane on Wednesday for the Origin. Right. I'm just wondering if you'll be around so that we can hang out for a little bit. What do you reckon?
Hang out, yeah. I'd love to hang out with you, boy. You coming to Stanthorpe?
Yep.
Oh, that's good. Then, mate, we're hanging.
Great.
We're hanging tight.
Who is it?
What do you mean, who is it?
Me.
Rana.
Oh.
Brianna?
Yeah, just checking.
It is you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Okay, what's going on?
Nothing. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Dad, that scene. Was my voice twin.
Your voice twin? Who's your voice twin?
Katie. That's my voice twin, Katie. Hi.
Well, she got me.
Wasn't hard, Big Steve.
Did she really, Dad?
She got me a good one. I thought it was you.
What the hell?
That good? You don't even know your own daughter, Big Steve. You can't even pick your own daughter's voice, mate.
I'm disgusted.
Well, listen, I started at 5:30 this morning. I'm probably not going so good at the moment.
I love how...
Excuses.
I love how Katie got straight into it too. Dad, I'm coming Wednesday.
Yeah. Are we hanging out?
Are we hanging out? I'm coming.
That's exactly how I'd say it pretty much.
What can I say? I love you both, okay?
Bye, Dad. Love you.
Okay.
That was her again, Dad! That was Katie!
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
This is the dream. This is the dream for me, buying something that, you know, you have to spend a little bit of money on, but then it turns into something huge. Like, I'm watching this Bitcoin stuff at the moment go through the roof, and I wish I got on board that.
You're such a get-rich-quick person.
Isn't everyone who get... Wouldn't everyone
like
that?
No, but some people buy into it more. You love the idea of
that. I love the idea of it.
Because you love that idea.
Something for nothing's great. There's a Chicago woman, her name is Nancy Lee Carlson, and she's looking at making about $5.4 million.
A good bit of money.
On a purchase she made at $1,330.
What was it?
It's a bag containing traces.
Of meth.
One bag.
One bag.
It's a bag containing traces of moon dust.
Moon dust?
Moon dust. Left by Neil Armstrong, which he used to store lunar rocks collected from the moon landing after Apollo 11.
I was going
to
say, is that a new drug? New
moon
synthetic
dust.
Drug?
A few people getting on the moon dust.
Moon dust, oh.
So, but this is all legit. So she got it at an auction, and it was by a former Kansas Space Museum director, Max Airy. He was in prison for 2 years for stealing artifacts and then reselling them at auctions where...
Wow.
Yeah, so she didn't pick it up there. What they did was they went to his house and they grabbed all his possessions.
And then auctioned them off themselves.
Yes, legally to, you know, to get rid of it. Anyway, she picked it up there for $1,300.
Oh, she picked it up for a bargain.
She sent it off to NASA to get tested to make sure it was all legit. NASA got it, then decided they didn't want to give it back to Nancy because they felt it belonged to them.
Finders keepers.
Yeah, Nancy's just won it in court. And It's all hers. The space dust belongs to Nancy.
Yeah, take that, NASA.
Yeah, I know,
if I was Nancy, I'd go around going, beat NASA.
Beat NASA.
Have you done that?
So she's going to put it up for auction, and they reckon it's going to go for about $5.4 million, which NASA might buy.
Well, they could buy it back, couldn't they?
For, yeah,
what's
I know.
That? Beat the smartest organisation on earth. No big deal.
No big deal, you know. No, and I got $5.4 million, guys, so
no big deal.
Suck on that.
Little old Nancy. Little old Nancy.
Little old bloody rich Nancy with her $5 million taken on NASA.
Good for Nancy.
Get up with Free and Gaunzy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.
I think it was last week that I bought you the story of my friend Sophie, who met up with a guy from Tinder, and then he ended up having a fake leg that he didn't tell her about.
And he was 17? How old was the guy? Yeah, he was young.
He was 17, still at school. She was 24. Very awkward.
He said his mum gave him the day off school the next day. That's why he was still there when she turned back up in the afternoon.
Ridiculous.
Where's she at now these days?
Well, I thought some of the stories that come out of her dating life are too good to pass up. And I made a revelation last night that she's the modern day Bridget Jones.
From Bridget Jones's Diary.
Yes. And I need to share some of these stories with everyone because they're too good to pass up. I think I might have told you this story before, but it's too good not to tell on the radio. And it was about a time when she started dating a guy, and they were probably a month into the relationship and they'd been hanging out. And she said it was one of the first times she'd actually slept over at his house. And she said that he used to get up early and go to work in the mornings, and he got up and he said goodbye and he said, "Oh, just let yourself out when you're ready." And he lived in this apartment in an apartment block, and she said she got up at like 9 o'clock and she was, you know, feeling like she really needed to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it was number twos. And she said, "Oh, no big deal. He's not here. Don't have to worry about it." You know, early on in the relationship, that's kind of, you know, can get a bit awkward. Anyway, she's went to the bathroom, went to flush. Nothing. She's panicked, obviously, because there's, you know, what is she going to do now? He's going to get home and, you know, there's going to be this big thing left in the toilet.
Yep.
So my friend Sophie, not the smartest human in the terms of, you know, life challenges. And she thought, usually I think you can throw water into the toilet and then flush and it will flush if it's not working. She decided she would scoop and bag. What goes through your mind?
Well, desperate times call for desperate measures, Bree.
We've all been in situations like that where we panic.
What bag? Just grabbed a random old plastic bag.
A Woolies bag. Plastic bag.
Yeah, right.
Scoop and bag. So she's done that. She goes, problem averted. I'll dump it on the way out.
It's a messy situation, that
Not
is.
Not great. She said it was fine. She goes, "Oh, put it in the bin on the way out. No big deal.
Just leave and never see him again." I mean, that's a better option. Just walk out, never to return.
I know. That would go
Imagine
through.
Imagine he came home. Oh, God. She really didn't like me.
Left me a present. Anyway, it gets worse. Gets worse for my mate Sophie. She said she thought she'd be cute and leave him a little note. So she's written this note and she was like, "Oh, thanks for last night. Hope you had a great day at work. Talk to you later. Whatever. Yeah. Kiss, kiss." Anyway, she's written the note. She's grabbed all of her stuff and she's pulled the door closed on her way out, and it's a deadlock. As she's pulled the door closed, she's realised she's left the bag, the scooping bag, on the table next to the note.
What a gift. What a gift.
Can you just imagine this guy, right? He rocks up after a full day work, probably six in the afternoon, walks in. "Oh, look at this cute note. Oh, that's really sweet." What is that? That is a bag of human feces.
So what did she do? Did she try and break back in? How did she solve the problem?
She said she had a thought where she would be willing to break a window. She said she'd be willing to break a window. It was an apartment block. He was on the third floor. There was no way she could get back into that apartment.
I only see one option.
What's that?
Burn it down. Burn the whole place down.
Get up with Free and Gaunzy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast. 101.3 CFM.
Something big that's happening in my life and in your life right now too is a wedding, planning for a wedding. My sister's getting married. I'm not getting married.
I was about to say, have you got a bombshell to drop on us this morning?
No, I'm not getting married. No, I haven't met anyone. My sister's getting married, and I had a conversation with my mum the other day that I found pretty interesting, and we were talking about, you know, weddings cost a lot of money. There's no doubt about it. And they were talking about where they're going to have the wedding, how many people are coming, what's the food going to be.
Can I ask then just quickly, because I know to the engagement party they had, what, 320 guests?
350.
How many to the wedding?
Well, yeah, they're culling. It's going to be about 115, 120.
They're culling.
They're culling.
Hunger Games.
I actually culled a lot of people. I took a look at the list and I said, nah.
Hunger Games style. Just put them in an arena and whoever comes out comes to the wedding.
I like that idea. But I said to my mum, I was like, oh, who's paying for the wedding? Because it's a discussion that I know I was interested in, you know, who was going to pay for this massive wedding that they're having.
Traditionally, the bride's parents.
And this is where the conversation started. And I said, but why? Because, why is that a tradition?
Because we've already forked out for the engagement ring and everything else to this point.
Yeah, but why? I'm not saying you guys. Yeah. I'm not saying the people who are getting married, but why is it just the bride's family?
I don't know, but I like it.
See, I don't like it. I think that is an old tradition that should be phased out.
No, look, I agree. And Jamie and I, we're putting money in for our own wedding, obviously.
Well, they're saying that's happening a lot more these days. Is that, the people getting married are putting in. But I took a look into it and apparently the tradition of the bride's parents paying for the wedding stems back from hundreds of years ago when women were considered a possession and the bride's family used to have to pay off the groom's family in the form of a dowry to take their daughters off their hands.
Wow.
What a load of bull.
I mean, that just doesn't sound very 2017 at all, is it?
It doesn't.
Women have all the power these days. Well, they do, don't they? In my house, they do.
I don't know. I just thought that's a really kind of old sensibility.
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
Why is it still happening? Shouldn't it be like a joint thing? They're both getting married. Both families are coming together.
There's a lot of traditions that stick around this sort of stuff.
Yeah, I just said to my mum, I was like, I don't agree with that. I think it should be 50-50. Like, okay. It's 2017, but there's studies that have been done recently, and they're saying 45% of the wedding is usually paid by the bride's parents, 42% is paid by the bride and groom themselves,
right,
and a measly little 12% is paid from the groom's parents.
My dad's happy with that. He's pretty happy. I'm lucky. Honestly, my dad doesn't have a lot of money, so if I was the bride, I would be screwed. I would be. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, but then I think, I don't know, it should be like everyone chipping in. I don't know.
I would say that's what a lot of people would do these days.
Yeah, you think? And that's what I want to know this morning. I want to ask the people this morning.
Put it to the people.
Put it to the people. Let's put the study to the people.
Yep.
Who paid for the wedding? Was it the bride's parents? Was it the groom's parents? Or did you pay for the whole shebang yourself?
13, 12, 16.
Get up with Bree and Gaunzi.
Check it out.
The Central Coast. 101.3 CFM.
What we have here is a situation where your sister's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
Your parents potentially have to pay for that wedding and you're not happy because it might take away a bit of money from the Brianna Tomasell fund.
I don't think it's that at all.
I know.
I think it's that. I think that's an old sensibility. Like when we were talking about it, I was like, why is that? And read into it, it's an old tradition.
It would still happen. It would still get to the wedding point and you go, well, you know, it's the bride's situation here.
Yeah, it's kind of happening now. Mm. Well, I think Simon, my sister's fiancé, they're paying for a part of it and we're paying for...
Is his parents putting in any?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But we're paying for, I think, the majority.
Right, because of the tradition?
Because of the tradition.
Really?
Yeah. Which I kind of went, I didn't think my parents would like that.
Jamie's mum's offered to do that based on the tradition. She goes, it's the bride's...
Responsibility.
We're coming to the party.
I don't agree with that. I don't think it should be.
Can I just say thank you on the air for that? Let's go to Jade in Wodowba. Morning, Jade.
Morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well. Who paid for your wedding, Jade?
Me and my husband.
The whole lot?
Pretty much. There was a few things that we had a little bit of help with, like my veil, our cake, and a little bit of the honeymoon, but the reception, everything else was us.
And can I ask who, the little bit of help, who was that? Who put in for that?
So my mum paid for my veil and then Matt's mum paid for our cake and his dad and stepmum paid for a little bit of spending money for our honeymoon.
So they shared it?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
How expensive was the wedding, Jade?
It was just over $10,000, I think. So we did everything on a really tight budget because we obviously knew we were footing the bill. So we tried to do everything, you know, within our budget.
And if the parents were paying, would you have had a bigger wedding?
Oh, hell yeah.
Of course she would have. Let's go to Daniel in Hamlin Terrace. Morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. Who paid for your wedding?
My wife and myself.
You guys paid for it as well?
No help from anyone?
No.
Really? So no one chipped in anything?
I was actually thinking about it, and a friend of mine who was a videographer, he actually gave us the wedding video, but that was the only thing.
Wow.
I just realized everything else we paid for, so.
And how much was the wedding?
It was just shy of 30.
30, that's a lot to fork out yourself, isn't it? Was there any expectation at all, Dan? Did you look to your partner's parents for anything? Did you think, you know, this
is
it?
Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. Where are you?
No, not at all.
Mate, you are a keeper. I can see why she married you.
What a stand-up bloke.
What a stand-up bloke. Let's go to Jenna in San Remo. Morning, Jenna.
Morning, Jenna.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Very well. Who was paying for your wedding?
So my partner and I, actually, we literally just got married. And we paid for it ourselves.
This is a common.
Yeah, very common thing, isn't it? And how much was...
We did have an engagement party and we had a wishing well, so we did put that towards it.
Okay.
So that was about, well, I think, $1,100 or so, but other than that, it cost just under $15,000.
That's
so
a cheap.
Fairly decent amount, though, still, if you're footing the whole bill.
If you're forking it out for yourself.
Absolutely. You just have to be smart about it. We just broke it down... We started planning from a year out, broke it down from 52 weeks, a budget from each week of what we had to pay, and that's how we did it.
And was there ever a conversation with your parents, Jenna, about them maybe pitching in?
Did you feel the pressure?
No, not at all. I mean, my partner and I decided to get married. It was our job. We're adults. We're fine to pay ourselves.
Right. I hate to break it to you, Jenna, but he quietly holds that against you.
I know, probably will. It might only last a year.
Well,
it sounds
you've
like...
You've got to go in with the optimism, don't you? Last a year? Yeah, well, it sounds like what, Bree?
Sounds like from the people this morning, Gordy, you should be pitching in a little bit more.
I am pitching in.
Okay, so the whole lot?
Not the whole lot. Why would I do the whole lot when Jamie's mum has offered to pay? I'm not going to say, no. You keep the X amount of dollars, which is a lot of money. Yeah. You keep that.
Doesn't sound like something the Gaund would say.
I'm busy supporting her daughter, mate.
Oh, is that how it is?
No, as a couple.
Okay.
Not just her. Like, I'm just saying. I can't win in these conversations. No matter what I say, I could win.
Just give up. You should have learned that.
Let's get out of here for a Friday. I tell you that. It is hot in here. We support each other is what I'm saying.
That's what I wanted to hear.
But that's what I meant. You know what I meant. What a way to end the week, hey? I'm getting an ass kicking when I get up.
Oh, yeah. You've done a bit of stuff on the air this morning that Jamie is not going to be happy about.
Have a great Friday, guys. We'll catch you tomorrow, 7 till 9, for our National Saturday show.
That's if you turn back up tomorrow.
Oh, I'm not hanging out with you post-show today. I'm done with you today.
Get up with Bree and Gaundy.
Check it out.
The Central Coast, 101.3 CFM.